Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb as we get you rolling on a Wednesday. Glad you could be with us as we continue along here on Wake Up Call. All right, let's get the good of the day, my friend.
The good of the day. Topgolf is looking for a very specific person to fulfill this position.
What position is it?
It is a position that they created. It's called a global head of golf footwear and apparel.
Okay.
All right.
Does Topgolf have footwear and apparel?
I know they do.
They have their own like footwear and stuff?
Well, maybe they're getting into the footwear game, but I think this is I'll explain to you more in a second.
Let's rewind this. Topgolf you're talking about is the company where you go hit balls into things and like targets,
right?
And that company.
Yes.
So I want to make that clear to people. This is like, so you could say Topgolf and it could mean anything.
Yeah.
So this is
no,
where
Topgolf,
you go,
yeah.
You eat and drink, have fun.
And they have t-shirts, they have sweaters.
Okay.
Maybe they're going
to get into
the shoe game.
So this isn't a brand of clubs. This isn't a brand of golf apparel.
No, but they created this position, global head of golf footwear and apparel. But here are the very specific qualifications for this job. You ready?
Yeah.
Tell me if you fulfill any of these. A shot of 48 for 9 holes at age 3.
Okay.
Did you do that at age 3?
No.
Needs no less than 82 tour victories.
They want Tiger Woods.
Yeah, they also say won the Vardon Trophy no less than 9 times, has near or around 20 hole-in-ones, finished first in at least 15 major tournaments, must be willing to wear red and work on Sundays.
Nice.
So obviously this comes on the heels of Tiger.
Now, why is this good? Does he have a relationship with Topgolf?
No.
Or is it just a company let's do that funny, viral,
yes,
give us all the attention in the world thing.
Yes, because this came, job opened up immediately after Tiger and Nike parted ways.
See, I see this in, like when Derek Jeter retired and they're like, the Babcock Softball League has an opening for a shortstop if you're a 5-time World Series champion.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how many people saw this seriously at first and then went like, man, I don't think I can fit any of these qualifications.
Did they actually post it like on like Monster and all these websites? That's
I don't know. I don't know if it was just a Twitter post. I would love it if they did post it on Monster.
Like, yeah, really.
Just to see if someone came back and said, so you're telling me that you have no less than 82 tour victories? Do you know what we mean by 82 tour victories?
Tiger shot 40, what was it, 48 at 3 years old?
Yeah.
According to his dad. That's pretty wild. Yeah, well.
And why would we argue that?
I don't know. I guess I wouldn't. I mean, I don't know. Did he? What kind of course was it? Was it a par 3? I have a hard time believing he shot 48 at 3 on a.
No, oh, I do too.
35, 36.
He shot
100 yard golf.
Well, 48,
you know, 9 hole course.
48 for 9 holes. So I'm going to figure maybe that's a par 3 9 hole course.
Is it like a short course or like the longest hole is like 350 yards? Because like even if you're blessed with amazing golf ability, how far is a 3-year old going to actually hit the shot? Like if Tiger is 3 and he steps up to a 435 par 4, he's hitting it 70 yards maybe at the best, and you'd be blown away by that, but you'd pause and go, he still has 350 yards left.
Yeah, I mean, you feel that, I mean, if you were golfing side by side with him, that you would be able to outdrive a 3-year-old?
Yes, you'd be able to outdrive. Just physically, you'd be able to. Like, there's only so much swing speed a 3-year-old is going to put on the ball. It's physics. I mean, it's, you know what I mean? He's not hitting a 280 down the middle,
right,
you know?
And I mean, that's, you know, say like if you went up against a dwarf, you're probably outdriving little people as well, right?
Yes. Of course, it's just physics. If you take a short club, it can only generate so much speed. That's why when you go to those fun, these guys hit at 450, the long driving tours, their golf clubs are huge.
Yeah, it's almost
creating more centrifugal force.
It's almost like
there's
a gigantic
limitations
stick
on driver size on the PGA Tour because of that. So even, you know, again, he's fantastic, but yeah, he's probably at one of those pitch and putt kind of courses. I would buy that more than I would be like the back 9 at Pebble Beach, right? From the tips. So, and they don't have 3-year old tees on public courses.
It's true.
They don't have the men's, the back men's, front men's, back ladies, front ladies, and kids. They don't have that. Or three-year-olds. When I took my kid out to play golf in his first time, like when he was 4 or 5, we just made a new tee for him, like 100 yards out. So this is your place. You hit from here. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day. I mean, it's not really bad. It's just kind of I think it sums up the college football season nicely, right? There's a video and photos going around that show Connor Stallions enjoying Michigan natty win with free beers in a Houston bar. So after the game, obviously he's not part of the team anymore. He just partook in celebrations around town in the Houston bars, and people were just feeding him free beers.
Well done, knowing, Connor Stallions.
Knowing exactly who he is and who he was this year.
Yeah.
Who he was to college football. I'm not even going to say Michigan. Who he was to college football. All the scandals, all the controversy earned him a bunch of free beers.
Yeah. I can see people doing that.
And that's why I say
it's their world now.
I don't know how bad it is. It just doesn't feel right, I guess. I don't know.
Listen, I'm on the record saying I don't think this is a big deal. If some people think it's a big deal, that's fine. I will say this. It is a problem in that it's not nothing. You know what I mean? It may be less to me than it is somebody else, but it's not nothing. And so when that's what Michigan has to deal with. And I like the way they're saying, hey, look, we know we hate you. You hate us. We get it. All right. We understand. But the reality of it is that it's there. And what people do with it is what they do with it. But I think you're right. I think that the fact that people are buying them beers, it's almost like, and in the end, we got all of this. In the end, we got it all. You know, that kind of feeling that I think it's going to rub some people the wrong way. Especially like Ohio State fans.
Seriously.
You know?
Now, I wonder, this one thought that was going through my mind yesterday about this. The Michigan booster who brought this all to life.
Right.
Is he happy?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
I mean, his alma mater won a national title. First one since 1997.
Let's go back on that. Wasn't that an NFL owner that was...
You know, he was like a minority... He had a minority owner, stake in
minority
the Vikings.
Like the Vikings. In the Vikings. That's right. But he wasn't a Harbaugh fan.
He wasn't a Harbaugh fan, and that's why he blocked any attempt Harbaugh was trying to make to become the Vikings head coach after old what's-his-name got canned.
Because I saw a story where Stephen Ross is a Michigan guy, and he's going to do whatever he can to keep him in Michigan. So this might be a dueling NFL owner, let's try to alter the course of Jim Harbaugh. So but the owner of the Vikings now has... Maybe he's changed his tune now that a title has come to Ann Arbor.
Well, no, I mean, he's already under contract. Don't bring in another team, Tony. He's going to the Chargers.
Yeah, right.
Despite all the rumors that you're hearing that the Chargers are kind of interested in Belichick and Belichick's a betting favorite to be the Chargers' next head coach, I want you to ignore that noise. And that the Chargers are going to bring Harbaugh back to San Diego.
I mean, I think in the end, I think he's going to the Chargers. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I have heard people say in podcasts and whatnot that he doesn't want to be in the AFC because he hated coaching against his brother in the Super Bowl. But I go back when people say that, I go, what guarantee that we're ever going to see them both in the Super Bowl again? Like winning a Super Bowl isn't just showing up and coaching.
Is that why he wants to be like maybe the NFC? It's like if we both make it back to the Super Bowl, I get revenge.
Right. Well, no. He says that.
No, I know. He hated it, but he hated.
He loves his brother so much, he didn't like it. But the reality of it is look, I know the Ravens are really good, and I know that he can make the Chargers really good. And there's a good chance you might face the Ravens if you ever got a team to the Super Bowl if you were in the. But he would be with the Chargers. He wouldn't have to worry about that. He'd just have to worry about an AFC championship game.
Yeah, that's it. But I mean, isn't like. To that point, like he says he hates coaching against his brother. I mean, the Chargers and the Ravens don't face each other that often.
No, we're talking about in the playoffs.
No, I know. But, I mean, even then, like, in the playoffs.
Let me rewind that. What they're saying is, okay, if Jim Harbaugh is not going there to be 8-9, right, he's going to be good.
Yeah.
Right? That's the goal. Like you're not going, well, you know, the great thing about being in the AFC with my brother is he's got a team that's going to win 13 games, and I might win 5, right? He's like, I'm going to be really good because I believe in myself and I've had success at this. He's going to be really good because he's always good. eventually we're going to meet in the playoffs. Eventually we are going to meet in the playoffs. Because it's a, you know, I plan to have success. He plans to have success. And it's very likely that we will meet in the playoffs. But, listen, I love my brother, but I'd kick his tail in the Super Bowl if I had a chance.
Are you kidding me? Maybe I don't understand.
Why would you, like, I love my brother. He's a year younger than me, but, I wouldn't have any problems beating him in the Super Bowl.
Can we amend this? I don't think he hates playing against his brother. I think he hates the fact that his brother brings it up all the time.
That's probably it. Maybe that's the truth. Maybe that's more the reason.
Get together for some family gatherings, and, you know, John just sitting there going, what is this on my hand? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So embarrassing. I'm wearing this again.
But you saw them on the sidelines on Monday. I mean, it's...
Yeah, John, I mean, John was excited for them.
They're really tight. Look, I think that's all fun, but in the end, I think you go to the best team that's available, and that's the Chargers. All right, we'll continue with the good, the bad, and the dumb next.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, continuing along this morning. Glad you can be with us. The good, the bad, and the dumb. Alex Stroh, a good friend from ESPN Madison, is going to join us. We'll talk Packers as they got the Dallas Cowboys coming up this weekend in the opening round of the playoffs. Good for Jordan Love and the Packers to get into the postseason. Love's been playing great. They won their final game of the season. They controlled their own destiny, which, let's be honest, with some of these teams, they got in because they won and got help. The Packers didn't need help. They were told, win this game against the Bears, you're in. Everyone else is out. And that's a little better. You know, that's what you want. So let's get to the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day, Tony. Scientists are at it again.
Yeah.
They have developed 3D mini organs from human fetal brain tissue that self-organize in vitro. So basically...
Oh, now you're killing me with science. What's going on with that?
Basically what they're doing is they're taking pieces of fetal brain matter and then creating a mini brain. And the mini brains are about the size of a grain of rice, right? Now, here's the positive, Tony. The positive is that this could aid in the study and treatment of diseases related to brain development, including brain tumors. Positive. Here's the negative, Tony. Scientists at Indiana University just couldn't help themselves. They revealed that they were able to link these living brain cells to a computer.
Sure they did. Of course they did. Of course they did. This is what they want. They want to be ruled by AI overlords. This is the desire of all of these people in this business, to destroy the human race and to make us all robot slaves. That's what they want. They can't help themselves. We've said it all along. You don't want AI ruling the world, don't invent AI. But there's too many good things that come about this that lead us into people going, well, do you want this or do you want that? Because you can't have both.
I mean, here's the thing, right? The reason why they're doing this is because linking this 3D brain organism, organoid, or whatever you want to call it, uses less energy than it does if they were to use a silicon chip.
See, you make this the dumb of the day, and I didn't understand hardly anything that you said. So the dumb of the day is me not being able to follow this technological advancement.
I'll break it down for you, right? Using this fetal brain grain of rice thing is a better battery than the silicon chip.
Okay.
That makes sense to you?
That does. I wish the dumb was more like Florida man's pet alligator got loose in his house and ate everything.
Yeah, but if we did that, that's every day.
That's every day.
Why would I do that?
I'm trying to figure out a rice fetal brain. AI kills us all. That's basically all I'm getting at.
Connect the dots.
That's pretty much it.
You put that on the bulletin board, you tie one red string around one pin, and then you put it around the other pin. That's the connection. You made
it. That's crazy.
We're all gonna be killed by
when are we just all gonna admit this is all our future? When are we just gonna admit this?
I mean,
this is it. This is what we have going for us.
You know, here's the thing, right? You and I are going to miss out on the Terminator.
We are going to miss out.
We're going to just miss out. Our kids, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not. Our kids might. This is their
world. I mean, I think of the advances that, you know, like for our fathers, right? And maybe even our grandfathers that, you know, grew up in the 19, you know, were born in the 1920s and then saw that transition to an iPhone.
Okay, I have a question, though, because I've actually had a philosophical debate about this with some friends of mine, which is this. We always lament, as we get older, we always lament what technology is doing to the youth. This has been going on for a long time, right? Especially in the 20th century leading into the 21st century. But every advancement in technology has always come with a segment of the population that believes that it is bad. So we were talking about, a bunch of friends and I were talking about how kids today are always on their phones, always on their phones, phones, mm-hmm. phones, phones. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Is there the trade-off, though, that when my daughter's car breaks down, she doesn't have to walk to a house to make a phone call to me?
Oh, yeah.
Like, is that a good, that was the point I made, which is, we can think that this is a tool of evil because we can't get them off their phones at the dinner table, and you kind of have to you have to snap at them, put it down, you know, whatever. And there have been times where I've talked to my daughter and she's never looked up at me, and I've said, "Put it down."
Yeah,
you know, I had to get really firm. But the reality of it is, she did break down one night, and the first thing she did was pick up the phone and say, "I'm on Kedron, 3 miles up from the golf course,"
mm-hmm.
and we were there in 6 minutes.
Yeah, as long as
she didn't have to
get
out of the car, she didn't have to walk, she didn't have to hitchhike, she didn't have to flag somebody down, she didn't have to walk to a stranger's house and say, "Can I borrow your phone?" This is what we had to do. This is what you had to do back in the day. You broke down, you hoped that the person wasn't a serial killer that pulled over and helped you.
No,
you hoped that an unfamiliar house had people that didn't like the taste of human meat.
I think,
right? Like, those were the things you worried about.
That got me.
She just picked her phone up. Mom, Dad, my car died.
I was expecting you to go to human meat today.
Right? Because I just keep thinking about the farmhouse. It's like, right. Yes, come on in.
What's on the pot?
Exactly. Yeah, don't worry about what we're cooking. In fact, if you would like to go downstairs to the cellar and help us get potatoes, that would be wonderful. And I'll walk right behind you. How about that? Don't worry, the creepy stairs. It's okay. The potatoes are downstairs. Right, that kind of thing. No, she just picked up. My car broke down. We went and got her. We called the tow company. They towed it to the place. Boom. Done.
No, but I okay.
Fixed it.
To that point, yeah, I think there are always certain benefits to that. Like this human brain I was just talking about, you know, the rice-sized brain that's going to be used to, you know, as a better battery for artificial intelligence. Hey, if it develops, if you're able to use this and find a way to cure brain tumors, great.
Sure.
Fantastic. That's the good. The bad is that, you know what, it's not, you know, it's not our brains, I guess, they're worried about.
Maybe so.
But and you're not worrying about, you know, people liking human meat. They're just farming us for other things.
Right. But yeah, so in the end, I wonder if in the end somebody goes, you know what? Here's the deal. We're slaves to the computer overlords, but none of us has cancer.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Maybe
with
that
the
was
bad.
The payoff. As I, you know.
No, I remember, you know, being able to have a phone at the ready, it's a blessing and a curse because there are times, you know,
both,
it's just
yeah.
It's so annoying that people can get a hold of you anytime and get mad at you like, "Hey, I know you have your phone on you. Why
don't
you?"
That's the biggest drawback. That's the one thing I do not like.
Yeah.
Is I do not like the idea that
I'm reachable all the time.
If that when it used to be if you called somebody up and they didn't answer, you're like, "They are not home." Now you're thinking they're ignoring my call.
Right.
Right?
They're ghosting me. We even have a word for it now.
I'll give you an example. We're having some work done on our house, and the insurance, we filed an insurance claim. The insurance guy called me. I didn't recognize the number because I don't know what number he's calling
for.
I totally didn't pick it up.
Of course.
Then he left a message. I called back, and I didn't even have to say I missed your call. I think he knew exactly why I called him back. Right? I looked. I saw an unfamiliar number. I ignored it. He left a voice message. I saw the voice message, dialed him right back.
Yep.
Right? And that's what happens all the time.
And he knows in the back of his mind, you're just screening calls.
Yeah.
Okay.
But my wife is notorious for the "where are you" texts. Like, I'm like, oh, I got to get that. Where are you? I've been trying to call you. Are you ignoring? You know, that kind of thing.
You got
to
get Life 360. That way they know where you are all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
You know what's funny? I think we talked about this a little bit. Chuck Klosterman wrote a book called The 90s, which was talking about that sort of era of time. And we always talk about being a slave to our phone. You know, we always say we're slaves to our phone. Because the phone rings, you got to answer it. Phone rings, you got to answer it. It could be at dinner, phone rings, you got to answer it. You can be out on a date, phone rings, you answer it. All of those things. He goes, but in reality, he goes, when you just had a phone in your house, you really were a slave to the phone. Because if you were anticipating a phone call, an important phone call, you didn't leave your house.
Yep.
So if you were waiting for a, let's say you were up for a job and the company said, we'll call you after 3 p.m. on Friday. You didn't leave the house. You stayed in your house. And everybody goes, you want to go golfing? It's Friday. It's beautiful. I can't. I'm waiting to see if I got this job. And you'd be stuck in your house waiting for the phone to ring. And that's what you did. And it, you know,
and I remember sitting there and you'd think to yourself, all right, it's like 10 to 5. They probably won't call after 5, but then you would sit there and go for another hour. Like, well, maybe he stayed late.
Yeah.
You know, after normal business hours. God, I remember doing that.
I think it's amazing that we, in a very short amount of time, we went from the phone ringing and it could be the president of the United States or your mother-in-law to I know exactly who's calling me.
Hey, and, you know, one of the other positive things, you know, real quick, I think is an incredible feature is that when you do call a company and you're put on hold, you have the option to have them just call you back.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Like, so not be the case.
Our day, we had to sit there. It's like, you're on hold. You're 120th in line. Please hold.
So our overall point in the dumb of the day is enjoy these times. Because, again, when we are slaves to the robot overlords, we'll remember these days fondly.
Well, because the rice-sized brain, it's not going to be a rice-sized for long.
That's right. How about the Packers playing Cowboys this weekend? Let's get the insight on Green Bay from Alex Strope next on from ESPN Madison on Sports Map Radio.